Sitting here with me, as you can plainly see, are our guests for this weekend, our first citizens of Florida, Billy Bowlegs III, who celebrated his 100th birthday in February. And Billy is from Brighton. And the Reverend Josie Billy, who is a Miccosukee from the Big Cypress Reservation. Now, I'm sure some of you are wondering why Reverend Josie Billy does not have on his Seminole Indian colorful clothes. But he preached at our lovely little Baptist church this morning. And he felt that he should wear plain clothes, Christian clothes, because he is a dedicated Christian. I'm going to ask their friend, Albert Devane, to bring them up. He has some very interesting things to show you.
Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me much pleasure to introduce to you two very prominent Seminoles, two of Florida's very good citizens. Billy Bowlegs, as Cousin Thelma has told you, passed his 100th year. Reverend Joseph Billy here will be 81 this December. For some of you who wasn't here one of the other sessions, I shall just briefly give you a little outline of the two. Billy Bowlegs, as he is the oldest, I shall tell you about him. Billy Bowlegs enjoys a great heritage. He is of the Snake Clan, our family. His family, our clan, furnished all of the head chiefs of the Seminole Nation since its birth in the 1720s, when Chief Secaufe broke away from the Creeks and came into Spanish East Florida. Hence the name Seminoles, or Runaways, as they were called. Billy Bowlegs is now living within 25 miles of where he is born. He's been a great hunter. He's had many friends among the whites, many of the greats. He was a great friend of H.B. Plant, who put the railroad in. He was his guest when the first train arrived in Palm Beach. He was a great friend of H.B. Plant and was at Kissimmee with Captain Tom Tiger when the first train rolled into Kissimmee on the way to Tampa. Billy lives at the Brighton Reservation and is a grand old gentleman. Give him a hand. Now I want to tell you a little something about Joseph Billy's people. Joseph Billy's people are also grand people. Joseph Billy's was one of the people, or one of the few, who were in the Everglades who did not immigrate. That is, his people, his grandfather's people and grandmothers, who did not immigrate with Billy Bowlegs when he went west, when the less than 100 was left in Florida. He has a distinction of being of the Panther Clan, and his people have furnished the greater part of the medicine men of the Florida Seminoles down through the years. Joseph Billy's father with Biddy Cornpatch. Our Connie Poggio. He was Florida's first educated Seminole. He was educated in the home of Captain F. A. Henry at Fort Myers, who took him in and let him go to school with his children. He was interpreter for Clay McCauley when the first report with the U.S. Indian Affairs was made at the Seminoles of Florida. His father was the interpreter. Joseph Billy was a former medicine man, and he got Christianity. He didn't go to the Green Corn Dance anymore. He's been a great leader among his people. He's educated, and he preaches all over in both white churches and among his people. I might say that Joseph Billy has been very active for the last few months building a large pavilion where on July the 31st, August the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, they have, well, we shall call it the Indian Baptist Revival. The different churches are meeting it there, and they are having a big meeting, a big get-together for 4 days. And Josie is very active in that. Josie's a great man, a great preacher, and I'm glad to say one of my good friends. Give him a hand, will you? I just I'm going to take just 2 minutes.
That's right. I didn't want you to forget.
I just want to give you, take 2 minutes. Biddy Bowlegs is also a great historian of his people. Not in writing. He can write, but he doesn't write history. But he has a great memory. He perhaps has given me more information on the few Seminoles that were left in Florida following the 1858 war, and knows more, knows the people, knows the clan, the family, knows their Indian names. And he has been a great help, and he's a historian within himself, I should say. I went down to his camp, and he come up, and he give me this. He says, what you know about that? I said, it looked like a spearhead to me, Billy. Someone would use that? No, don't think so. I said, who used it? Calusas, maybe. Well, I might tell you that I don't know what it is, but for a better name, I shall call it a Folsom Point, or a point pre-Columbian. This was used, I think, by the mound builders, which was somewhere, well, I don't know when, you know, where you check your history from 500, maybe to say to 1200 A.D. That's guessing now. Now, in the hammock where he lives, evidently it was a quarry where they made these stones. Because Billy found this. It's an outcropping of rock. And this was the tool that they evidently used. Okay. The tool that was evidently used for killing the alligator. Now, Jacobs Lemoyne's in 1565, who accompanied Lawton there in Florida, made a picture of killing the alligator with a pole. Well, that is evidently lashed on the pole. What they done, they lashed it on the pole, and as the alligator come to him with his mouth open, they shoved this pole down his throat, three or four men, and then as he turned over, they killed him under the sulfur part or the underbelly with what tools they had. And this is, they used a tomahawk or something else. Now, that is a stone axe. You can see here where it was lashed, in other words, where they put the thongs around it. Now, Biddy found these things himself. He's a great man of his people. He hunts arrowheads, and he knows an awful lot about it, and especially about the history of the people. I thank you all.
Now, here to help us celebrate the 10th annual Florida Folk Festival, coming back to the land of his ancestors, is our talented friend, musician, artist, who has just won at Philbrook Museum, Art Museum in Tulsa, the first prize for his painting in a very large competition amongst Indian artists. Fred Beaver won first prize. So as he comes forward to greet you, I hope you'll give him a great big hand.
Thank you. I wish to sing for you what we might call a hymn in the Creek language. I am a Creek from Eufaula, Oklahoma, originally, but I am now at Ardmore. And this song was taught to the Creeks, or Muscogee, by the Presbyterian missionaries who worked among them for a long time from this area in Georgia, and also when they were removed to Oklahoma. And these missionaries stayed with them long enough to learn the language and devise an alphabet, and also wrote several hymnals for them. This is one form. This is an old hymn.
Now we have a real treat coming up, if I can find it. Our bell ringer, Major Street, couldn't get here from Jacksonville because he had a previous engagement. But from the opposite direction in the state, and we are so honored to have them represent Pensacola, is a lovely group of gospel singers, young boys, Leon Starr, Danny Groves, Barton Starr, and Sammy Harrison, who have driven a long, long way since 2 o'clock this morning to sing for us. And if they'll come forward right now and sing, we'll be happy.
I'd like to thank you for the opportunity of being here this evening, this afternoon. We are a religious quartet. We have sang in many of the areas. I'm sure you can't tell by my voice. You might think I sing a baritone or bass. Well, I sing a first tenor, therefore you have a reason why it will no longer be a quartet this morning, but a trio. I have developed a case of laryngitis. We would like, I should say they would like to sing for you this afternoon, two songs. The first is rather fast tempo, which you can beat your feet, but not too hard. It'll raise the dust around here. It's kind of dry. But we'd like to begin, and I'd also like to begin by thanking Mrs. Daniels at the piano. She has so graciously consented to play for us. She is a pianist at the Methodist Church here in town. We'd like to sing for you first, Just a Little Talk with Jesus.
Once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and the little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer wheel turning, and you know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my past seems drear without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Now when you feel little prayer will turning, and you know little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Makes it right.
I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
Now when you feel a little prayer will turning,
and you know a little fire is burning,
you will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Thank you. This is the first time, excuse me, that we've ever tried a trio, much less in front of such a large capacity group. For the second number, we'd like to sing a little slower number, Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
Methodist Church Choir, under the direction of one of our fine music makers in our area, in our Suwannee Valley area, A.W. Levy, will sing two spirituals for us, Lord, I Cried, and When He Calls Me.
Just couldn't be contented, just couldn't be Oh, my.
think it's time for the audience to sing two verses of a hymn, please. What have you selected?
Thank you. That's an awful group to follow. I tell you, that's just about as good as I've ever heard in my life. They're wonderful. At any rate, we're going to ask you to stand. We think that you probably need to relax a moment and sing the first and the last stanza of When We All Get to Heaven. Stand up and relax.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansion bright and blessed, He prepared for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout for victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Thank you.
The Suwannee Area Quartet.
You heard the name, the Area Quartet. I'm so glad of how we can go along with our folk festival here each year. You didn't know it, but this quartet's been organized since noon, and that's the way we do things when we have to. But anyway, we're delighted to have singing with us this afternoon our daughter Nada. Now, this gentleman that I'm going to introduce next, you have heard him from coast to coast many times. Presently, he is pastor of Philadelphia Baptist Church here in Suwannee County. Reverend Clyde McLean, who sang for many years with the Smalahaw Quartet. And then singing with us on our second tenor this afternoon is our own assistant county agent, Merle Palmer, a member of our choir in the First Baptist Church. I'm going to ask you, after we have sung this first song, do not applaud, please. Applause on this first song. We would appreciate it if you would not. On the last one, if you'd like to, all right. The reason is simply this. Cousin Thelma will join me in requesting you to remember that we had, in the past few years, a number of times, the writer of this song, Where We'll Never Grow Old, Brother Moore, with us. He's gone on to his reward, but he shall live on in this song. You have sung it perhaps many times. We're going to sing it without any rehearsing, except singing it one time, I believe. We want you to notice the words if you haven't, and let your memory stimulate for its own good as we sing. Then in memory of him, do not give any applause, please, after this first song, Where We'll Never Grow Old. We're singing just the first and the last verses.
I have heard of the land on the faraway strand. 'Tis the beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high. There we never shall lie. 'Tis the land where never grow old, where we'll never grow old.
troubles and trials are o'er. All our sorrow will end, and our voices will blend with the loved one to come on before. Never.
Just one verse of Victory in Jesus.
I heard of old, old story, how Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory.